This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back for the final 60 minutes of the big show. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel. It's The Usual Suspects. We'll be giving away some more tickets to Barry's headlining shows this weekend coming up before the end of the program. So there's one reason in itself to stay tuned to us, but also because we still got plenty of ground to cover. Lots of things to get to. Some funny stuff. One of the things that I wanted to get to you guys in case you missed it was when they did the mic'd up segment for the Super Bowl and they do such a great job of miking all the players, one of the things besides all the football talk, which was fantastic, was Malcolm Jenkins looked up at the scoreboard at one point and saw Steph Curry was in the stands. Let's just say he wasn't a Steph fan. It sounded a little something like this.
See? I knew I ain't like Steph Curry. I knew I ain't like Steph Curry. That's your boy. That's your boy, Steph Curry. Front runner.
Because I think Steph had a red, white, and blue hat on. And I know that Steph's a big Carolina Panthers fan.
Yeah.
Someone probably just gave him a Super Bowl hat or something like that to wear.
Yeah.
But that was funny.
Yeah, that's good stuff. That's
funny. I love that mic'd up.
Those are the best, man.
And for the Super Bowl, they have so many parabolics and mics all over the field that the stuff they get after the fact is just awesome.
Because I had a question for you guys that I wanted to, were you able to watch the Rocket game, Nick? I know Joel did.
No, I didn't.
Okay. So I want to ask Joel this question because I found it interesting. But before we do that, I want to get to a couple of these texts. All texting, no tweeting. We were talking about how we're bad about doing teases. And he did say that that's what he likes about the show is that we don't do those stupid teases. But I think you're supposed to.
I think the dynamic has changed a little bit over the years in the radio industry, but yeah. I still think they're necessary.
I'm curious, though, if they work. Like, if you guys...
God, because other stations, it's like almost like a requirement. I'm like, next time, just tickle my grapes.
I mean, I've had people here suggest that we do them more, but I'm curious if they work. Like, does it really keep people like, well, I know I've got to go into work now because it's 3:30, but I'm not going to until this next segment because I've got to know... What, you know, who came in ninth in the recruiting wars on signing day? Like, I don't know if that necessarily works, but maybe what the hell do I know? I'm just
it's really the problem with teases is that it's really hard to sound like to not sound like the show is over when you're doing that, like when you're going into break.
Yeah,
so people tend to change the channel before it even happens. That's why you'll see on a lot of the national platforms, you won't even know when they're going to break.
Yeah,
there is no
or the
tease.
Other thing is if the tease is more like a really tough trivia question,
yeah. No.
It's a bit much.
Yeah. I like ESPN National sometimes because they sneak a commercial in on you.
That's exactly who I was referring to.
It's hilarious, though, because they'll be like, yeah. And then this other caller, 1-800-FLOWERS, you can get flowers for $40 and this and that and the other. And then they go right back into talking. It's like, whoa, what the hell? Where'd that come from?
Yeah.
Pretty sneaky, sis. All right, Barry, speaking of shows, when you coming back to Beaumont? I have no idea. I don't know. That's a good question. Somebody start a comedy club and I'll go. As a grown man, I'm convinced that there were old guys being nasty with themselves to sit and be fit.
Perhaps.
I mean, a lot of people were saying she was, P.S., I'm a black. That was from yesterday. That was a callback to yesterday's show with a black guy. I was like, I'm a black. Nobody says that. A lot of people were saying that she's hot. I don't know. You got to look at the text.
Yeah,
look at the tweet that we got with a picture.
I had never seen it before.
And?
Saw it now and was like, ugh.
Would you not?
I never knew anything about it. You're talking about the sit
this
and fit?
This lady. Yeah, well, she's wearing the leg warmers.
I think she looks like she's either a relative or a previous girlfriend to the painter
she
with
looks
the afro.
Like, yeah, she looks like everybody's great aunt. I don't know that I would be pleasuring myself to everybody's great aunt. That doesn't seem like a thing I would do.
Still haven't seen the pic, but
it's the one I'll tag you on this.
Just think the painter guy with the fro, only a smaller fro. She looks just like the dude.
I want to say nope.
It's true.
It's kind of true. Look, I just tagged you on Twitter, so go check
that
out.
By the way, bitter much? Dallas Braden, who did the ESPN Raheel, by the way, just coming in, opening the door, doing some like Facebook Live and not letting us know is always great.
All right.
Dallas Braden, who was on ESPN, did a lot of things on Baseball Tonight and then got let go as one of the big
cuts.
He just put on Twitter pictures of all these different random ESPN Baseball Tonight polos and jackets. And he says, anybody want ESPN Baseball Tonight polos? If you hold them close to your ear, you can hear the sounds of Tim Kirkjian laughing. I didn't wash the red polo for 2 weeks after a string of great studio shows at 2:30 a.m. and a wild day at a reptile ranch. Hashtag game used. Hashtag two and a hook. Like he got pulled. Nice. I like it, though.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good way to approach it. Did you see the picture, Nick?
Yeah, I responded. That
and?
Was,
is she hot?
No.
Would you?
Negative.
I mean, in the granny world, in the gilf world, would you?
This is not going to work. You're not going to get me to say one, you would.
It's a legit question.
Nope.
If you were 50.
If I was 50, that might be different.
Okay. If you were 40.
The Christy Brinkley one, did you see that one?
Brinkley's going to be hot totally when she's 127.
Yeah, she's the one that needs to be doing sit and be fit.
No doubt.
My
dad didn't work out a lot as he got older, but boy, he loved those shows. And I guarantee it wasn't for the workouts. There was another one that Kathy Smith, I think her name was, and she was kind of a poor man's, like, blonde.
Yeah, I remember Kathy.
Man.
Dad, why do you just have the one forearm that's swole?
Dad just loved him some workout shows when he wasn't working out. Let me tell you that.
Do you want to do B-Man's call? You want to take his call?
Sure, B-Man, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, B-Man?
Hey, man, just wanted to, like, you know, congratulate you guys on your anniversary and, like, you know, like, tell you guys you put on, like, you know, wonderful program. You know, enjoy listening to you guys on the way home from work. But I wanted to ask Barry, like, hey, man, I know you got a show coming up this week. And I was wondering, like, you know, you got any, you know, tips, any, like, you know, anything that you want to, like, you know, put out there for, like, your up-and-coming comedians?
Yeah, man, I'll throw a few out there. B-Man, appreciate the call, and thanks for the nice, kind words. Two things I tell everybody that says they want to do it, and there's really no – don't buy a book. Everybody that gets into comedy, the first thing they do is they go buy this. It's called the Comedy Bible, written by Judy something or other. You don't need that book. If you really like comedy, two things you want to do. Go to an open mic for at least 6 weeks and just watch. And I went three times a week. That's how I got started. I just decided one day, this is something I really want to do. And I've always been passionate about this, why I haven't done it before. So I just started going to open mics and watching and learning and just seeing how bad comics do it, how good comics do it, how new comics handle it, how, you know, people work with jokes. Just go and watch and observe. It's like film study. Mm-hmm. And then wait about 6 weeks, write your material, and then go up and do it. And you're going to bomb. Trust me, you're going to eat it really bad when you go up. Almost everybody does. And if you don't do it the first time, you're going to eat it the second time. Trust me. But that's it. And then from there, just keep going up and working on those jokes that you wrote and start writing new ones, man. And it's a slow process. But go watch, observe, and then just start doing it, man. Don't come up with excuses. That's the best advice I can give you.
Good stuff right there, man. Got that, Nick?
Yeah. I'm going to go and buy that book.
And don't eat peanut butter or fast food.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting what you said about that.
I really wanted to say what I've told you guys in the past about pineapple, and I thought she would not have taken lightly to that, so I refrained.
Yeah, you were going to ask her why?
Pineapple cleans me out, man. Keeps me healthy, so I love it. Just letting you know.
I'm sure there's some scientific words you could have used.
Cleans me out work.
Just say poop. There's nothing wrong with saying poop.
Kind of fun, isn't it?
Poop, 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 poop.
This is what the show.
Right after poop. We get to, hey, I really like you guys' show. Now we're just going poop, 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 and they're like, you know what, B-Man?
At 3:08 when the parents are in the pickup line at school, poop.
I'm sure the kids say poop nowadays.
God, it's better than it's listening to the Blitz and having AJ go.
It's not a curse word. It's not. All the cool kids are saying poop.
Shh. Oh, can't say that.
Yeah, all the cool kids are saying it, but watch B-Man call back and be like, yeah, I just heard that poop thing. Yeah, I take it back. You guys are terrible.
My kids are running around the driveway going poop, poop, poop.
Yeah, thanks a lot. At least we didn't do that. Okay, let me get to my Rockets question for you before we go to break.
All right.
All right, so last night, Rockets win 109-101 versus the Miami Heat on the road. Good for them. Yay. Anderson doesn't play. Trevor Ariza, Anderson's right ankle sprain. Ariza, left leg injury is out. Eric Gordon, low back soreness, scares me a little bit, and we can talk about that if you want to later.
Yep.
And then Tarik Black doesn't play, coach's decision. P.J. Tucker played 41 minutes. Mm-hmm. 41 minutes, the most of anyone on the team. He plays 41 minutes. He scores 3 points, pulls down 5 rebounds, 1 assist, and commits 2 turnovers. but he is a plus 16 when he is on the floor. Mm-hmm. Higher than Harden, who scored 41. Higher than Paul, who was a minus one and put up 24 points. Was P.J. Tucker just balling out on defense all night?
No question.
Because that's what the box score tells me, and I didn't get to see it.
No question. And I noticed it during the game, and I didn't see the plus-minus at the end of the game. But the one thing that I kept noticing, and we talked about this when Miami was here, one thing that they do is they try and stretch the floor. They put a lot of long, athletic guys on the wings at the point guard and make you try and out-athletic them.
Yeah.
And so he was able to guard everything from the point guard to the center last night, as sometimes he'd rotate off of onto Whiteside. But he's just so good. I mean, those numbers, you're not putting P.J. Tucker out there because of his scoring prowess. He'll knock down the corner three when it's available. But, man, when he and Luke Mbamute decide to lock down on D,
yeah,
that is the reason why this team is so night and day better on defense.
Luke was also a plus nine, put up nine points, played 37 minutes. So Tucker and Mbamute played more minutes than Paul and Harden did.
Those two dudes were doing work.
And between the two of them, only scored 12 points. So, but that's great to see. And what I found interesting is that you're saying he's guarding everybody because Tucker played small forward last night. As the box
the
score
listing,
said.
Right.
He started. Because I was thinking about that. Wow, maybe he could be more dominant defensively if he's
on
playing
the team.
Because he's small. I know he's sturdy and all that, but I like his chances D'ing up a small forward versus a power forward or a center.
Yeah, I do. I agree with that. I don't like him guarding centers and power forwards just because simply with the height advantage, we've seen this. He can be in the perfect position, go straight up and down, and they turn around, and their length alone allows them to shoot over the top of him and still make shots. That's why I think they need insurance policies, more depth up front. But, God, you got to credit what he does defensively. And the other thing that you said, I'm worried about Gordon, too, because this is his history.
Man.
You know, the other guys, I saw Ariza jump off the bench a couple times last night to high-five Harden and go, oh, he's close.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
He's just going to be great. But I'm with you. Eric Gordon, that scares me because when he gets injured.
Because he missed a few games, comes back one
remember
game.
Remember last year?
Sore back again.
Clean as a whistle, bill of health. And when he got the first one, it like steamrolled three more, and he was off and on out for a while. I hate hearing that.
Him and Anderson both. Yeah. And this was the big knock when they came over from the Pelicans was both these guys, they're injury prone.
Although I will say this, the difference between the two, most Rockets fans are hoping Ryan stays hurt.
Please. I mean, if his ankle falls off, I'm not going to be
thinking
like
that.
Superman.
I wasn't going to say it.
Did you see him? And then
oh, way to take the high road now.
Yeah, AT&T Sportsnet doing a Rockets a favor. They showed him warming up last night, and he'd make a shot, and then he had to go and run and touch half court and come back. And while he was running, he was wincing the whole time. And you're like, yeah, they love that because they want to keep him on the bench as long as possible.
Funny.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. More of the final hour of the Big Show. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects in the final hour of the Big Show. It's been more than eventful. Crazy dealings at the deadline in the NBA. We covered that.
Yeah, looks like you might lose this bet. And
we'll
the
see,
bet
brother.
Was...
We'll see.
The bet was... I was going to make something up.
We'll see.
The bet was loser.
Yeah, there was no bet.
Has to. Okay.
Yeah. Nice Damn try it. There. Yeah, now you're going to be the Lions fan that wants a lunch.
I was trying to get another sandwich out of you that you'll never pay for.
No, I've offered several times to get your.
You have, but it's awkward if you just give me money and then I feel like you're my dad. You're just like, here you go, son. Go
and neither one of us are eating that right now.
Go
because
get
we're
you a
healthy.
Sando. Yeah, because I'm eating healthy gourmet. So
I am too. By the way, and Lisa tried the vegans.
Yep.
Loves them.
Really?
Yeah,
that's
good. Barry. Yeah, it's good stuff.
That's good. Yeah, I've actually the last two I've had because I'm trying to stay really low cal, so I'm doing like a gluten free. I had the turkey chili again. I had the beef stew, and then I had the beef marinara today, and all of them are really good and gluten free. And I had no idea that gluten free would be not terrible. I always thought anything gluten free would taste like a foot. Just right. I just had no. But it's actually good. I was like, oh wow, this is awesome. So, but not that gluten bothers me. Did you guys see the interview with Quincy Jones?
I did.
It is insane. First of all, everybody immediately hit me up about Richard Pryor, because in this interview, he talks so much mess about, he accuses Michael Jackson of just stealing music from other people.
Yep.
He says that the Beatles are some no-playing mother bleep because they can't play instruments and that they weren't good at it. He just went off. But one of the things he was talking about was back in the 70s, and I'm going to get you guys the exact quote. So he said, yeah, Brando, he's talking about Marlon Brando, and they were talking about how wild it was and how everyone was cool and he would go certain places and he couldn't get in because he was black. And Frank Sinatra would be like, no, you let my boy Quincy Jones in, and then he would be able to go in. They were talking about Brando. He said, yeah, Brando used to go cha-cha dancing with us. He could dance his ass off. He was the most charming MF-er you've ever met. He'd have sex with anything, though. Anything. He would have sex with a mailbox.
Yep.
James Baldwin, Richard Pryor, Marvin Gaye. That's the one that broke my heart, by the way, was Marvin Gaye.
Let's get it on.
I was like, well, you didn't have to live up to the last name. Like, and I'm all right. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Now I sound like Trey. Well, but
you also know, Barry, when you heard it through the grapevine.
Oh, boy. Bah! And then several people were like, bro, this sucks. Because then Richard Pryor's wife came out and confirmed, yeah. Yeah, he definitely slept with.
See, I didn't see that part.
He definitely slept with Marlon Brando, and it's, you know, he would have thought it was hysterical that Quincy would have called him out on it. He wouldn't have cared. But if you read the book Pryor Convictions, which is a biography of Richard Pryor, he talks about his bisexuality. He talks a little bit about having, I think it was a transgender or transvestite woman for like 2 weeks. I don't remember specifically. Plus, I think he told.
Did he blame some of it on drugs too?
I don't think that was it, though. I know that he talked about on stage once in one of his first specials, which he bombed horribly in, and they still put it out, which is surprising to me that Pryor would even bomb. But I think that was the special where he talked about it's 320. Well, just pleasuring a man. But it was forced. Like, he was bullied into it as a kid, is what you found out later. But I don't think anybody that knew Pryor, and even if you read the books, was surprised that he was bisexual.
It was not a shock.
It didn't surprise me. Marvin Gaye surprised me. That one I didn't know about. James Baldwin, I don't care
about.
Didn't
he put Jack Nicholson on that list? I saw at some point he mentioned Jack Nicholson too. But yeah, he had a list of which were some pretty eye-openers in terms of guys that went both ways.
Yeah, I just saw those three names mentioned in the article on Vulture, the interview on Vulture. Pretty crazy, though, but he calls out Mike. He says, how much were his problems wrapped up with fame? Talking about Michael Jackson.
Yep.
He said, you mean the way he looked? His problem with his looks was because his father told him he was ugly and abused him. What do you expect?
Wow.
Damn.
Yeah, he even said that he didn't have whatever skin condition he said he had.
Yeah, he said that was BS.
Yeah, that was all BS.
What about outside of music? What's misunderstood about Michael? I used to kill him about the plastic surgery. He'd always justify it and say it was because of some disease. That's BS. Like, Quincy went off. You can tell Quincy's 85.
I was going to say, he's throwing everybody on the bus.
He's either got an illness or he knows he's about to die, so he's just airing it out.
No. Dude, old people just don't care. Once you get 85,
yeah,
you're
no
like,
filter.
You know what? I don't care what you people think. I don't care what I'm going to say. Think about that. If you know old people, they tell
Beatles
you exactly
comment,
what. Yeah. But old people
Paul
don't care.
Paul plays the guitar. I mean, they can play. Ringo played the drums.
He also said he knew who killed JFK in the interview.
Okay.
He goes, now that takes down your credibility.
Because exactly
he was
right.
Talking about the Clintons and how he knew some really big secrets and those backfired on Hillary. And he said, like, what secrets? He said, this is something else we shouldn't talk about publicly. They said, you sure seem to know a lot. He said, I know too much, man. He said, what is something you wish you didn't know? And Quincy Jones said, who killed Kennedy? And the guy goes, well, who did it? He said, Chicago mobster Sam Giancana. The connection was there between Sinatra and the Mafia and Kennedy, Joe Kennedy. He was a bad man. He came to Frank to have him talk to Giancana about getting votes. It's just that part of it I was like, but.
See, now all the credibility. Because like when I didn't see.
But that rumor's been out there before about the mob and Kennedy.
He's got some backup to it, though, yeah.
Well, another person that justified some of his comments was T-Pain, because one of the people people that he's called out was T-Pain.
Yep.
And he said, dude, you completely messed up the production in my last album. And then T-Pain admits to it.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I didn't want to remake it. My management team really wanted me to do it. They convinced me to do it. And then I fired my management team because the song sucked. The album sucked.
Yeah, he just basically said that he had an album and then a bunch of rappers redid it. But he told him, don't do it. Don't half-ass it.
That's why when I heard that, I was like,
T-Pain half-assed it. I was like, damn. Hey,
didn't he say Michael Jackson was stealing people's songs a lot?
Yep. Early on in the article, let me scroll back up here and see if I can find it. I'll tell you who specifically. Oh, here you go. You work with Michael Jackson more than anyone. What's something people don't understand? I hate to get into this publicly, but Michael stole a lot of stuff. He stole a lot of songs. Donna Summer's State of Independence and Billie Jean. The notes don't lie, man. He was a Machiavellian as they come.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. How so? He said, greedy, man, greedy. Don't stop till you get enough. Greg Phillinganes wrote the C-section. Michael should have given him 10% of the song and wouldn't do it. So he's basically said he stole from Donna Summers, Billie Jean.
And he said it was cheap.
Yeah.
Said it was very cheap, too. So
crazy, man.
It is a crazy article, an interview worth reading.
Google Quincy Jones Vulture. It's fascinating interview. Full of crazy old man.
Well, speaking of that, there's a show after us. But at the same time, we still got a half hour to go in ours, and we're still having a lot of fun. Hopefully you are, too. We got 30 minutes to go in the big show. Don't go anywhere, as we'll continue to kick it around until we turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz. We are the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
So, you want to go out tonight but don't know where to go? Easy fix. Head over to culturemap.com for the latest social happenings going on in the city. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
We are back for the final half hour of the big show. It is The Usual Suspects. It's Nick, it's Barry, it's Joel as we continue to roll on. Everything good in the world because of the fact that we've covered the trade deadline. We've covered the NFL signings. We've covered a lot of fun stuff. And yet, time just flies when you're having fun.
It absolutely does. I was asking Ken, do you want to we're going to do the giveaway at 3:45 because apparently their phone system got jacked up.
See what you do.
Yeah, so we'll do it at 3:45.
The demand is so high.
Hopefully they'll have it fixed.
For these shows that you go and you sabotage the entire joke joint phone system.
I didn't. I just
what
said
was your
call.
Idea? I mean, the interns could have fumbled through this.
Well, hopefully they'll be up. If not, then you may get a voicemail. But I would just leave a voicemail and see what happens. Maybe they'll just randomly. I don't know.
Everybody should leave a voicemail. They've won.
No. Oh no. That would be awesome. Be like, I know I'm voicemail number two, jerks. But yeah, they'll
when
figure
Ken
it out.
Ken gets to 82 tickets on hold for people. He'll go, oh, maybe. Okay, maybe. Maybe they weren't all these people.
Yeah, right.
They're lying to me a little bit.
Yeah. All right. So we'll do that at 3:45.
All right. Sounds good. Let's see. Is anybody? Here's my question because I saw it on our rundown, and I'm not trying to be poo-poo on the parade guy, but is anybody fired up about the Olympics? And if so, to one level,
you are. Yeah. I
know you're a big female figure skater fan.
Okay, I was waiting for the fan or the...
No, not a female figure skater.
I mean, I'm definitely... I know I'm a
you like
great...
Tara
I know
a
female figure skater.
I know I'm graceful.
Who's Tara's buddy
and
that,
I know,
that was a figure skater that tries to dress like very feminine?
Oh, now,
Johnny.
Yeah.
Is his name
no.
Johnny?
Yeah. God. I know I'm graceful, and I know that I'm really good on a pair of rollerblades, and that I can do a triple Lutz.
Probably too much information.
I can do a 360.
You can't do anything triple on
I can do
I'll tell you what,
I can
if
do
you
a triple cheeseburger
like
Super Bowl
Sunday, I bet that you could do a sow cow.
That's probably there would be a cow involved.
Yeah.
Yeah, we get into it at the house, at the Laminack household. Me and the wife dig the Olympics for some reason. Not all of the events. She obviously loves the figure skating and the gymnastics. Mm-hmm. I kind of dig the downhill skiing.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a ton of specific events, but I like the ski jumping. I like the Summer Olympics more, but
I
still get into
Olympics
it.
More.
You know why, though? I get into it more than anything because I love America. That's why.
You love America?
I love America.
See, I get into the Summer Olympics more. I will watch the Winter Olympics because I'm like, there are certain events that I think are fun to watch.
Yeah.
The ice hockey is always good, too. But overall, yeah. I'm kind of like,
I'm big on the bobsled stuff.
You like the two-man luge and
no,
the tights?
I will never watch the bobsled stuff, ever.
You're not into that?
Or any of the winter.
Really? Bobsled actually is pretty interesting.
The only reason why I even know what a bobsled is because of the movie Cool Runnings. Otherwise, I wouldn't even know what the hell a bobsled is.
You know why you watch bobsledding, right? The same reason you watch NASCAR. You just want to see them eat it. You just want to see them fly off the track and be like, yeah!
That's exactly what happened in that movie,
too. Okay at the end because some of those things can get pretty violent.
You don't want them to die, but if you're like, ooh.
But Cool Runnings, speaking of that, the Today Show did a Where Are They Now with the Jamaican bobsled team, which were the topics for Cool Runnings.
And
all these guys are still around and you know, they're still like treated like heroes. But they're just average everyday people now, but they just happened to hit it at the right time. And
that movie was pretty big for a while.
Yeah, it was John Candy, right?
Yeah, he was.
It was.
Yeah.
He was the coach.
Yes, indeedy.
Nothing close to Uncle Buck. Him that one.
I have the schedule.
Or Captain, whatever, Captain Jack, right? Uncle that was Buck. His other one. He was Captain.
Oh, yeah.
He was a Cool Runnings guy. He was Uncle Buck. And didn't he do Captain Jack or something like that?
All right. If you had to pick two of the following events, I'm going to read you the main events. You tell me what tickles your fancy here. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Alpine skiing. I don't even know what the difference between that and regular. Is that just downhill? I think that's downhill. Alpine skiing, biathlon, bobsled, cross-country skiing, curling.
My buddy's doing play-by-play.
Started last night, by the way, and it was intense. I'm just kidding. I didn't watch that. Figure skating, freestyle skating, ice hockey, luge, Nordic combined, which is where they ski and shoot, I don't know, attack a polar bear. Short track speed skating. That was pretty cool. Mm. Skeleton, ski jumping, snowboarding, and speed skating. What do you got?
I said I like the ice hockey. I like the downhill skiing.
Well, ever since I made friends with Apollo Ono in front of the Lincoln statue in Washington, D.C., and by made friends, I mean he jogged past me.
I thought you were like...
Name dropping?
No. Did you drop it any faster?
No. But I've always liked the speed skating, whether it's short track or the, you know, whatever. I think that's interesting. And you talk about like competitive and dudes that'll like wreck and cut each other. Well, and
taking those turns, I don't know how they all don't fall flat on their face.
Yeah. So if I had to pick two, I would go... speed skating and the alpine.
Oh,
you
can pick two?
Yeah, you can pick two. Which two are you going with?
I'm going to go hockey.
Yeah.
And the downhill skiing.
You, Nick, any of those tickle
your
fancy?
I mean, the snowboarding, I might watch that if it was on right when I changed the channel to it, but
So over the next 2 weeks when we're breaking down the biathlon.
We're not breaking down anything.
Yeah.
I'm not, at least.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. You're not going to participate in the show?
I think Olympics to the free world is like college basketball to Houston.
probably true.
Of all the things you've been right about today, that is the most accurate thing you've said. And of all places, like here in Florida, no one cares.
Nope.
I am reading that it's Bob Costas and Tara Lipinski who are commentating. Do y'all remember Tara Lipinski?
Yeah, she's the one with Johnny.
Yeah, she's the one with Johnny, too. Johnny wears like
Johnny Two Flames.
You know the women that like to wear the leather tights looking outfits? Well, yep. He'll pull that off.
He wore a feather on his head one day.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know his real name. Johnny.
He's flamboyant.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Do you want...
It's up to you. I'm leaving it up to you.
I pointed at it earlier. I thought you guys were ignoring him.
No, I'm leaving it up to Barry because he gave him too much credit.
Here's
and then
the
he's
thing.
Crapping the bed on text messages again.
We've got to read at the end of this segment and we could get
exactly.
into
time. Poorly. We got time. Get it now. We still got time.
All right. Let's do the call. OU Mike wants to talk curling.
It's very confusing the time he made love to Yoko Ono with knowing Apollo Ono. Is there some confusion
no.
there?
No, oh, you Mike, there's no confusion.
Okay, on curling, I just figured it out last night. To me, it looks like at Christmas when somebody gets the robotic vacuum cleaner and Granny gets up and grabs her broom to prove she's still worthy and can outdo the robot vacuum cleaner. That's kind of what that looks like, isn't it?
That's pretty.
It's not bad.
Damn,
it's like the
accurate.
Robot vacuum cleaner with a handle. And he's out.
It's not.
He's look.
He is the king of the mic drop.
He just needs to stick to the phones, though, because when he calls in, it's been golden.
That is funny, though.
When he texts, it's been horse crap.
That would make a really good YouTube video, as if you did curling and you just got the iRobot and you started it and got a broom and got in front of it. That would be pretty hilarious. Oh, you Mike out here writing sketches.
Yeah, that you're going to execute.
Hell no. I'm never doing that.
I'm telling you right now, man.
I wouldn't stoop to that level.
My buddy, who used to be the voice of the Comets and work on the Rockets, Jim Cosimore, is working the Olympics.
Why does that name sound familiar?
He was here. He did the voice. Like I said, he was the Comets, first Comets play-by-play guy. He was my studio host on radio for the Rockets for a while. Filled in, did some play-by-play. So he since has moved out to the Bay Area where he works on Comcast out there and does A's and Raiders and Niners and all kinds of things.
Nice.
And San Francisco Giants. But a lot of people, obviously, it's a big deal to do the Olympics. I know Glenn Davis has been called to do a lot of soccer and stuff. So he does it, but I think in advance they let him know, you're not going to be doing downhill skiing. We got you doing curling. So his wife always sends out the updates on social media and sends me, hey, Jim's doing curling. I'm like, really, when? 1:30 a.m. It starts tonight. I go, let me know how that goes because I won't be watching.
Do you even DVR it so you can say, hey, there's my buddy?
No.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. And the other thing is, like I told you, a lot of times because that's a sport that with as much money as they spend to get the Olympics, they don't want to spend a lot. So a lot of times they'll put them in a studio in New York and have them call it from New York with just the natural,
that's horrible.
The nat sounds from Pyeongchang. And it's just so hard to do an event like that.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
I that would be so difficult to do, man.
We did it for the Rockets preseason games, the second go around. The first go around when we went to China, I went. The second go around, Craig and I were like, we'd rather get up two days at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
and do it off of TV than spend 11 days away from home and our families. And it is a whole different adventure when you're calling it off a big screen TV. And by the way, and the first game, we had technical difficulties. And I'm like, you ready to call a make-believe game for a half hour, brother, and at least get this thing going? Because we're not going to have video.
Right?
It was crazy.
That's funny. Somebody, I know it's not what are the odds Wednesday, but what are the odds the Cougs get to the dance this year? That's from Blitzer Jake.
Right now, I think if Rob Gray keeps playing the way he's playing, I think they're in, their schedule has already, but they can't crap the bed. Like tonight they're playing an SMU team missing their best player. Take care of business, win that game. I don't care if you cover the spread or not, win that game. But overall, if they do what they finish second in the conference, keep doing what they're doing conference-wise, I think they'll get in. They've got enough good wins. But you can't just relax, because if they slip up, they'll be on the bubble.
I like that we got all of our college basketball talk out of the way for the year in that minute. Good job.
Yep. And by the way, congrats to Chris Mullen and St. John's on that note. Because A&M got a big victory last night, beating number 8 Auburn. But the bigger thing is St. John's was 0-10 in conference play and was just crapping the bed and looked like Mullen was going to get fired. In 1 week, back-to-back, he beat number 4 Duke and last night beat number 1 Villanova.
Nice.
I don't know that you're making the tournament, but you might have saved your job.
I'm into the Olympics, Joel, Mr. Buzzkill, anti-American. There you go.
Okay. Well, wave your flag and let me know how it goes.
Watching the curling.
Yeah. Let me know if that curling gold medal floats your boat.
Get you hyped.
Yeah. All right. Right now, I want to tell you about my good friends at Gallery Furniture. I keep telling you, I get all my furniture from Gallery. People here like Brandon have gotten all their furniture from Gallery. Brandon recently was looking for some new furniture, had shopped around and tried other places, was told a whole bunch of stuff, gathered some notes, and went out to Gallery, found out that he could get the same exact kind of furniture at a better price, delivered the same day, without the back orders that he was being told he would get in other places. And on top of it, they had great customer service, helped him with all the financing and the payment options, then made sure when they delivered the furniture that they delivered it the same day and would move and get rid of or take care of any things that they needed done with their old furniture when the new stuff was being installed. It's just the way they do business at Gallery Furniture. I know you've heard the slogans. You can repeat them in your sleep, but it's not just a marketing slogan. It's a way of life at Gallery Furniture. Go to any of their three locations, Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland, the Galleria right across from Dillard's on Post Oak, or the mainstay I-45 North exit Tidwell Parker both ways, and make sure that you get with one of the great salespeople there. They're going to tell you about all the sales going on. More importantly, everything they say they're going to do. So if you buy today, you get it tonight. There's no back order slips, and Gallery's going to save you money. It's just the way they do business. Right now, some of the great deals, the Astros promotion is back. You buy $3,000 more worth of bedroom furniture, including Tempur-Pedic. And if the Astros win it all, you get it all for free. That's the way Mac has done that. He's going to do that again. Right now, because Mac is turning 67 on February the 11th, you buy $4,000 or more of furniture, including the ones marked 67% off, and you get 36% back in free accessories, just another way he gives back. And the Stickley furniture, it is just solid wood furniture at its utmost. Great upholstered and leather furniture. It'll look great in any room in your house. But do what I said. Check out one of the three locations. Tell them Joel Blank sent you, and they're going to take even better care of you. But at the end of the day, you'll know Gallery really will save you money.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back for the final segment. We're going to put a bow on it, wrap it up for you in the next couple minutes, then turn it over to Fred A.J. Jong and the Blitzes. They're going to take you home till 7 o'clock right here on ESPN 97.5. No need to ever go anywhere other than to put your dial right there and let it go, because that's what we do. We entertain you morning, noon, and night, from the bench all the way to the Blitz and everywhere in between.
That's right. Look, we promised I guess I did one more ticket giveaway. So we'll do that one now. Do not call the station. We're going to, hopefully their phones are working at the joke joint because they crashed the last giveaway. But hopefully they're up. If not, if you get that little voice message thing, just leave it. And I guess they'll take the first two on timestamp. I don't know how it works. Whatever. But we're going to give away two tickets of up to four. So you can have a table of four, three, two, whatever. If you want to go by yourself, doesn't matter. So first two callers, 281-481-1188 is the number. 281-481-1188. If you want tickets to the show, be one of the first two callers, 281-481-1188. And I think they'll even let you pick your show. So if you don't want to come tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, which is when I was trying to get everybody to come, they'll let you pick. So I would say if you can, try to make it for the 8 o'clock show. Remember, if it sells out, I'm giving hugs to everybody. So just if eight people come, well, look at that. If we could maybe get a sell out there. So 281-481-1188, first two callers, two tickets, or you get up to four tickets, $80 value. Good luck.
That's a great deal, man.
It is. It really is.
Just the ticket value alone, and I'm sure that there's a lot of up-and-coming comedians opening that are good.
I hope they're ready, because I think the listeners were actually paying attention, and they might be calling them.
I hope so. The opener, by the way, it was not the opener, but the feature is Andy, who's, 68. Up and cover.
There you go. Yeah. Or experienced. A seasoned veteran opening up for Barry.
Somebody texted the show and said, what's the name of the pizza joint y'all always talk about? Falbo Brothers.
God, I love Falbo Brothers.
Falbo Brothers, to whoever texted that.
The greatest thing for me is, I'm not sold if it doesn't look right.
Right.
Right from the get-go. And when you open the box, and I always get the deep dish. And some people, deep dish isn't their thing, but they do have the real pizza ovens and the hand toss. But when you open up that deep dish and it's just nothing but that great looking cheese and the crust is cooked right, man, if I'm going to do cheat day and do pizza,
that's the one.
I'm knocking the bottom out of that
pizza.
I live
on the wrong side of town. I need to, to bring 15, me some.
If you're out and about, it's more towards Sugar Land. It's 59 and Sweetwater Boulevard. But Nick's tried it. I've tried it. Yep. We got to get him on a day where we all can eat it.
Yeah,
to bring
cheat
some
day
in.
For sure. Yeah. Did you guys see National Signing Day results? They kind of talked about a little bit on CBS Sports winners, losers. I got to tell you, I wasn't even surprised that Georgia finished first, because they said that was probably going to happen, that they are killing it in recruiting.
And they got the number one quarterback in the country right off the bat.
And Kirby Smart got number one offensive guard, number two strong side defensive end, number three offensive tackle. So they're just killing it. USC was second. My boys over in College Station, Jimbo Fisher and the Texas Aggies, third on signing day. They said that this was a recruiting class with the Aggies that were sitting at 35 in the rankings, that this catapulted them into the top 20. And one of the rankings I saw had them at 17.
So explain that. When you say third on signing day, but overall, because I know they're class, doing the overall ranking.
There's a difference. Right. So you have the recruiting class for 2018. So some guys will sign early. Some guys didn't sign on signing day. They'll wait. Mm-hmm. There's still some recruiting to be done. Some guys signed last year, but they're the class of 2018. So that overall recruiting class for 2018 is different than signing day. Signing day is just who signed and committed to a team or to a program on that specific day. So they're saying that Georgia won signing day. They also are going to win 2018 recruiting. But A&M finished third in signing day, but it also moved them from 35 to like 17 in the recruiting rankings. And they, some of the reasons that they gave somehow, it doesn't even capture the level of success the Aggies had in the final week of the cycle. They said that they were they stole an in-state defensive tackle named Bobby Brown from Alabama, had a late push by Florida State to land the best quarterback available in James Foster, beat Oklahoma for an offensive tackle, Tank Jenkins, and got one of the best edge rushers in California in Jeremiah Martin.
So I was wondering what happened to Bobby Brown after he left the Rockets, but he ate his way into becoming an offensive lineman for the Aggies. Yeah.
Fisher got to work, man. So that's good news for all the Aggie fans.
I don't know if you're a fan of the old Dolphin shows, but Flipper is what they're going to call Jimbo.
He did work.
He did work, but so did his predecessor at Florida State. They said
fourth.
Yeah, Willie Taggart was flipping some guys, too.
Yeah, so not a large drop-off losing Fisher for that
program,
which is good.
And overall, the Horns were in the top three, so therefore the Horns and the Aggs doing work on recruiting day to try to get them back to national prominence.
Well, so they didn't, according to this, they didn't finish in the top three in national signing day, but they have the top three recruiting class.
Yeah, right.
For 2018, which is good. So, yeah, it looks like Texas schools, what used to be the preeminent Texas schools in the Longhorns and the Aggies, making a bit of a comeback.
Made some nice signings, too, by the way. You can check those out. But I guess that you don't need pixie dust, and the cupboard becomes more full when Tom Herman gets his own recruiting class.
And your big four losers on signing day, they said number four, Alabama, because they lost a lot of recruits.
Georgia's starting to pick all their guys.
Number three, Michigan. Number two, LSU. They lost a big-time quarterback. And number one, Tennessee.
Doesn't break my heart, Michigan. I bet not. And by the way, everybody making a big deal about the mom for the receiver that picked Florida over Tennessee and Alabama, and she was wearing a Tennessee ski cap and a Alabama T-shirt.
Yeah.
Everybody's making a big deal of it. The more I look at it, the more I think the whole thing was staged. I think they got the run that they wanted. I was just shocked Josh Ennis wasn't sitting next to him. That's how staged I thought.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Hey, Eduardo Flores just said, hey, give me a shout-out. I turned 28 today.
Happy birthday,
and he's
Eduardo.
Going to my show tomorrow, so that's the only reason I did it. Otherwise, you can go to hell, Eduardo, but since you're going to my show, just kidding. Happy birthday, bro.
Stay tuned tonight. It's the Isaiah Factor with the X Factor. It's Barry Laminack. Hopefully, he dresses correctly, acts appropriately, and mentions Nick and I at least twice. We'll have a report back
on
that tomorrow.
Pants?
No, I'm not rocking the white jeans.
I hate you. Go. We're out of here.
Skinny jeans and grape crushers at 10:30 with the Isaiah Factor. Stay tuned. The Blitz is next. ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, boy.
ESPN 97.5.